On January 7, 1945, an officer from the Army's intelligence branch, known as G2, sat down with a man named Eugene Nielsen, who had a remarkable story to tell. Born and raised in a small town in the mountains of Utah, Nielsen was 28 years old, and 3 of those years he had spent languishing in a prison camp near the Palawan capital of Puerto Princesa. There he had done backbreaking work on an airfield detail, crushing rock and coral, and mixing concrete by hand. Nielsen had been evacuated to Morotai, along with 5 other ex-POWs. He was convalescing while awaiting shipment home to the United States. Although he was racked with the residual effects of the various diseases he'd contracted while starving in the tropics, he had recovered much of his strength since his escape from prison. He had 2 bullet wounds, which were still on the mend. The officer from G2 sat horrified in his chair as Nielsen told his story, which concerned an incident on Palawan several weeks earlier, the full details of which no official from U.S. Army intelligence had apparently heard before. "The trench smelled very strongly of gas," Nielsen said. "There was an explosion and flames shot through the place. Some of the guys were moaning. I realized this was it. Either I had to break for it or die. Luckily, I was in the trench that was closest to the fence, so I jumped up and dove through the barbed wire. I fell over the cliff and somehow grabbed onto a small tree, which broke my fall and kept me from getting injured. There were Japanese soldiers posted down on the beach. I buried myself in a pile of garbage and coconut husks. I kept working my way under until I got fairly well covered up. Lying there, I could feel the little worms and bugs eating holes in the rubbish, and then I felt them eating holes into the skin of my back." When he looked around, Nielsen realized that a surprising number of Americans had made it down to the beach, perhaps 20 or 30. Some, like Nielsen, had torn barehanded through the barbed wire, but the largest group had made it down by virtue of a subterranean accident, a natural escape hatch that led from one of the trenches out to a shallow ledge in the eroded cliff wall. Several weeks earlier, while digging the air raid pits, some of the Americans had serendipitously discovered this small fissure, and they'd had the forethought to conceal it by plugging the opening with sandbags and a veneer of dirt so the Japanese would never see it. By using the escape hatch, they gained only a temporary reprieve, however, trading one form of butchery for another. Eugene Nielsen, still lying in the refuse heap, heard gunfire sputtering up and down the beach. Systematically, the soldiers were searching the rocks and hunting down fugitives. It was obvious that they intended to exterminate every last one. The seaside massacre went on for 3 or 4 hours. The Japanese would pluck prisoners from their hiding places and slay them on the spot, either by gunshot or by bayonet. "They were bayoneting guys down low and making them suffer," Nielsen told the officer from G2. "They killed, shot, or stabbed 12 Americans, and then dug a shallow grave in the sand and threw them in. Some of these men were still groaning while they were covered with sand. Then the Japs started to cover the grave with rubbish from the pile where I was hiding. They scraped some of the coconut husks off and found me lying there. Then they uncovered me from the shoulders on down. They thought I was dead, seemed to think I'd been buried by my friends. I lay there for about 15 minutes while they stood around talking Japanese. It was getting to be late in the afternoon. One of the guys hollered it was time to eat dinner, and every one of the Japs there went off somewhere to eat. I got up and ran down along the beach and hid in a little pocket in a coral reef there." Down among the coral, Nielsen encountered 7 other survivors. One of them was very badly burned. His hair was singed, and his hide was rubbing off when he brushed against anything. They were all crouched among the rocks, hiding from a barge that was methodically trolling the coves and foreshores. Having exhausted their hunt by land, the Japanese were now searching by water. Aboard the barge were 3 or 4 soldiers armed with rifles, as well as a tripod machine gun. Nielsen peeked around the corner and saw the barge coming. He decided he was insufficiently hidden, so, he told the G2 officer, "I left that area and started down the beach. About 50 yards ahead, I ran into more Japanese. Suddenly, I realized I was surrounded. They were up above me and also coming in from both sides. I was trapped. So I jumped in the sea. I swam underwater as far as I could. When I came up, there were 20 Japanese firing at me, both from the cliff and from the beach. Shots were hitting all around me. One shot hit me in the armpit and grazed my ribs. Another shot hit me in the left thigh, then another one hit me right along the right side of my head, grazing my temple.